Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav, dragi poslušalci, poslušalke Radija Študent, ste na frekvenci 89,3. Nahajate se v terminu, ki je namenjen intervjuju in tokrat sta v studiju z mano dva turška študenta, ki živite in študirate v Ljubljani že nekaj mesecev, sta pa seveda bila aktivna tudi v organizaciji in izvedbi protestnih shodov, ki ste jih mogoče celo obiskali v preteklih dneh v podporo dogajanjem oziroma aktivistom, ki protestirajo v Turčiji. Te protesti v Ljubljani so se izvajali pred turško ambasado. Moje ime je Boris Vasov, z mano v studiju sta Orčun in Fati. Welcome.
Thanks. Thank you.
That you give it the chance to talk.
Yes.
Of course, Radio Student is open for anybody who can say anything interesting about anything. So you're of course welcome here to the studio. You've mentioned you know the music that's being played right now in the background.
The Boris Manço is one of the best singer in the Turkey. Rest in peace. He was really really nice, and we grew up with this guy. Mm.
Kar poslušamo zdaj in poslušate tudi vi seveda v podlagi je kompilacija DJ Borke z imenom Turkish Delight. Zdela se nam je primerna za tokratni pogovor. There is some symbolism in one of the songs, yeah,
it's connected to the third one actually says that just
turn off the lights,
it says. But turn off the lamp actually. Mm-hmm. And our government, the dominant party, has a symbol like lamp, and everyone in Turkey, maybe protesters, says that turn off the lamp.
So is this song getting some airplay on Turkish radios right now?
Yeah, maybe. Why not?
Yeah. Maybe protesting ones.
In protesting ones. Yeah.
The opposition.
Opposition's one.
So. I mean, the first question would be, of course, your feelings about the latest events. The protests have been going on since 27th of May. They caused 3 deaths, thousands of injuries. Still, Prime Minister won't budge. Today he said the project, which I think the listeners are familiar with, the project in Gezi Park in Istanbul is going on no matter what happens on the street. He said that today, and he's coming back from his North Africa trip today to Turkey. What's your prognosis about what's going to happen tonight on the streets of Istanbul and other cities?
The protesting still is going on, and actually this is the matter of protest. He's not listening the street. We are saying we don't want to do this project, but still he's saying it doesn't matter. If I want, I will do that. So still it's he's going to this project, and still we are saying you cannot do this because you're serving for the public. If public doesn't want to do that, you shouldn't. But as we describe him, he has a super super ego, and he's not such a guy who will step back. So I guess he's thinking if he step back, he will lose it, the situation. That's why he's keeping his ideas, but he can't realize this kind of speech cause the tension up. You know, it's like, I don't know, you should keep the people calm. You should say, okay, we will listen to you, we will listen to your ideas, we will take care of your ideas, but his general behavior like now, I think it's gonna be same. Uh-huh. I don't know, watching.
Yeah, I agree with Fatih, because he's you know, one man, and he dominates his party, and his party is dominates Turkey. So whatever he does, he's actually suppressing the Turkish democracy with that. And if he step back, like he said, he will be really step back in the near future for the whole of the maybe. From the sovereignty of Turkey, maybe because of that, because he can't rule without his dominancy, so that he's trying to be very cool on that. He's trying to be very he's not trying to be very distracted because of the protests. He says that when I come back from the North African travel visits, so that everything will be okay in the end. I know that, he says. But it's not gonna be like this. We have this actual signs from the protests and demonstrations, and people are trying to continue this protests in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And I think it will be good for Turkish democracy if we can make it run. I mean, not for the 1 week, not for the 2 weeks. It will be going on for the each opposition, each thing we disagree with his government.
It's been obvious now. I mean, from the first day, ever since the first day, that the riots and the uprising in Turkey isn't connected only to the specific park in Istanbul. It's only the trigger.
Yes.
The media is portraying the conflict as a conflict between the secular liberal left young part of Turkish society, and on the other side there is the conservative, the older generation, and maybe the poorer. Even that divide is even being emphasized.
Actually, to make a point, it's not just about left or right. We cannot divide the people. Who is young should support left. Who is older should support right. That's why it's kind of revolution in Turkey, because I don't know how come, but with this event, with this Gezi Park event, and everybody from different ideological ideas, they came together. You know, probably, you know, we have Galatasaray, Fenerbahce, really big teams. And for example, two weeks ago, these supporters were killing each other because of the team. But now they're shouting together. They are making demonstration together. And also, there is no left party. Political party in this case, or right ones. We are saying demonstration. The demonstration says there is no there should be not party flag, not party ideas. There is public, and public people will say their ideas, not political parties, not left, not right. If you want to say something about it, go to parliament and say your ideas, not in the street. We will speak about our ideas.
So this division is not as simple as some media are portraying it. As I said in the beginning, it's not as simple as young left liberals against the Islamist policies of Erdogan.
Conservatives, maybe. In Turkish media, you know, mainly under control by our dominant party, by Justice Party, and they were trying to give some reflection on this idea. They are trying to make it the people who are doing that, maybe some Kurdish movement, or maybe some separatists, maybe the separatist movement, and maybe terrorist ideas they have behind of it. They are trying to give these ideas because they said that you are attacking your own people. They mean that the police. And police is trying to protect you. Why you're attacking them, they say. Mm-hmm. But
that's what the government says.
The government says, this is government's idea. But in reality, everything, as far as I know, it started like the
peaceful sitting protest.
Sitting protest in the Gezi Park. Because they were trying to protect their trees, they were trying to protect their park and history, maybe, in Taksim Square. So after that, some police, you know, overforcing on them. It made
the second day of the protest. They were sitting in the park and just reading books, singing, and it was really peaceful protest. And the third day of the morning, the police used really overforcing and like with the tear gases. To be honest, this is passive. Protest. Yeah. There is no weapons. There is no stones to send the police. Okay, there are some guys who is making vandalism, but to generalize, these guys really passive, and they just want to get freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. They just want to say their ideas, and they were in the park, and the police use really overforcing, and then. It split the whole country with a Twitter, which Erdogan say it's really bad media because he cannot control. And
it's a media full of lies.
Yeah,
he says.
Yeah, yes.
But before this time, he was saying that in Mubarak's time, you know, in Egypt, he was saying that it's a very useful tool to bring the real democracy in Egypt. Mm-hmm. He says, but why not? He's not saying in Turkey right now because is it become so much troublemaker for him? I think so. This is the real reason.
Politician's word is in the end lighter than air. So,
to give a new news, yesterday around 60 young people arrested because of the using Twitter in Izmir. Mm-hmm. The police arrested them, make a organized criminal to
inciting riots and calling.
Yes,
collecting
people to protest.
Yeah.
Also, I did. And I think everybody did. You know, the first night that it was the strongest day of protest, and we couldn't watch the what's happening in Turkey. I was watching from the Norway broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Maybe you saw on the social media we were joking about the penguin.
Yeah.
Penguins
on
documentary.
Turkish CNN.
CNN Turkey were giving the penguin documentary while CNN International was giving. Yeah. The real what's happening in Turkey.
The Turkish CNN wanted to cool things down, so they showed some Antarctica.
But
actually, we somehow understand their perspective because they are very much in different connection with the very maybe in business life there, because it's not just the media of them.
They have their own holdings.
Yeah, they are generally under control of the other holdings there because, as far as I know, CNN Turkey is under control of the Doğan Holding.
Yes.
Doğan Holding is a very
huge company.
They have
so basically they're losing money while the protests are going. I mean, that's the fear behind it.
Most probably.
No, actually, the fear is from the government. They are making auto censorship. Because they're scared if I broadcast this equally what's happening in Turkey, they're scared maybe in the future government will punish me. But they couldn't realize, as I said to you, I'm an advertiser, they couldn't manage the crisis with that. They couldn't realize it was the best advertisement ever for them. Now all people in Turkey are protesting the media companies and they are losing money.
Yeah.
It's worse than the scared from the government because government is temporary. They will go. The public will be there forever.
So I wanted to touch on the economic policies just for a second because I've read some articles that are emphasizing this as the main reason for the people to protest. And I'll quote this article I read just today. That the author says the protesters aren't protesting only against destroying the park in Istanbul, but they're protesting against the neoliberal economic policies, the privatization of public spaces, and what the author says, a dehumanized capitalist urban geography. Would you agree with that statement? That the neoliberal economic policies since the ruling party came into power in 2002 is the one who is basically driving this protest and is the reason, the main reason for the protest?
No, it's not the main reason, I guess.
We can't say that, but we know that something is changing very... nobody in Turkey, normal life, they can't even ever imagine that maybe before the 2002, when the first Justice Party came to government. But after that, everything we saw that sold by the government, you know, to the foreign investors. Maybe in some of it's a good thing for the Turkish economies, because Turkish economies before that it was in crisis. The policies, economy policies by Justice Party used by the generally in United States America. We are like, you know, small brother of the
ally.
They call it ally, but we saw it very small brother of the U.S. So maybe because of that, people are not getting used to this kind of, you know, shopping mall in the Taksim Square and also other stuff. But by using these economic policies, by forcing the people with your forces, I mean the, like police, mm-hmm. and using over forces and doing it in the Taksim Square, like very historical and very naturally beautiful place, it's actually taking over reactions from the people. A neoliberal political can be used in countries to get benefits for the people. I believe in that. But when you make it with not benefit but disadvantage for the people and forcing them and too much pressure on them, it's not neoliberal political, I think, because it doesn't have the liberalist ideas inside of it. It's just then like selling your country without any fear, without anything you take into your consciousness. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very bad thing.
But it's important to emphasize that Turkey received the so-called financial bailout from the IMF in 2001. It was in a similar crisis as Argentina. Of course, IMF always puts some conditions for the bailout, and one of the conditions was, of course, large privatizations. And if I'm not mistaken, I just read this today, that privatizations went from $380 million per year before to $6 billion per year in the current time.
Yes.
So the privatization is a problem, I guess, for the Turkish people.
To get the money, it's nice, but in the future, we don't know what will happen. As he said, neoliberalism is maybe nice, maybe can be good, but you should protect your main government buildings. For example, the communication. You cannot sell the communication to foreign investments.
Which happened in Turkey? Eh?
Yes.
In Turkey, yes. They even sold. As far as I know, the Bosphorus toll tickets management. I mean the company. Mm-hmm. They sold it to the foreign people. And this kind of, you know, normally stuffs are under control by the government in many countries, and you never sell them to any private companies. Not even your country, not like in Turkey, the foreign countries. Mm-hmm. This is a big threat for the people. If they got this idea, they will trying to question your policies. So, like I said, the neoliberal policies or the other policies, mm-hmm. I don't know which ideology belongs to, but you can use it. But you should use it for the benefits for your people. Mm-hmm. They can say that this is for benefit for the Turkish people, but it's not the idea the Turkish people got from their policies. Mm-hmm. So they should maybe trying to rethink about their policies and trying to maybe tell themselves very understandably. Because maybe the protesters come to this everywhere in Turkey. Mm-hmm. I think miscommunication with the government and the people. Actually, maybe not miscommunication. They don't even try to communicate with the people.
They don't even attempt to try.
They are trying to give the ideas. They are trying to give the policies, and they say that we are the half of the Turkey. We got it, and you should accept the idea. Mm-hmm. This is not democracy, I imagine.
Yeah. To return your question, the main point in this protest. People wants to say, give my freedom. Don't say about my alcohol. Don't say about how I have to, I should wear. And if I'm saying, please protect this land, listen to me. But the government's behavior, especially the prime minister behavior, is like, I have half of Turkey. I got votes. Half of Turkey, so I can do whatever I want, but you can't. You should consider that maybe this half of Turkey will not give you vote again. Mm-hmm. How you can be sure that this half of Turkey will give you vote again?
Well, that's where the question of Islamization comes into play, because people from the poor areas of Turkey support Erdogan, if I'm not mistaken, in large numbers. So the conservative part also supports Erdogan, and he buys the support by introducing some measures, as you mentioned, curbing alcohol consumption, and it's all in line with this what's perceived to be an Islamization of Turkish society. Can he be buying votes? Can he be buying support for his economic policies through this Islamist type of policies?
So there is one religious community in Turkey which is called Gulen community, and they are ruling the government in Turkey, and they have really huge number, and they are everywhere, even in Slovenia, even in Africa, everywhere. And the point of this Gulen community to provide each other in a financial, in educational, in every field, to provide each other. So if you're poor, if you want to make money, they are saying, come our community and we will support you some jobs, but you should come our meetings, you should come our conference. And so you're going this conference, and you're starting to take these ideas from the conference, because you're thinking, I haven't any money, so why I shouldn't go there, you know? Yeah. And you're starting to go there, and you're taking these ideas, these ideologies, and start to share the other people, and this community becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So this is what we are saying. Before the Prime Minister comes to the power, mm-hmm. they were saying you are disrespectful the Muslim, let's say radical or Muslimization ideas, but now they are making disrespectful who is thinking in a marginal way, let's say he's calling like marginal way, who is thinking, who is not agree with the Gulen community. So for example, today Mr. Gulen said from the America, he is living there, not in Turkey even, and he said this event shows us we have to reconsider about the young generation, because they are not on the good way. This is the real problem. You cannot say to young generation in Turkey, we have to reconsider about you. We have to put you in a right way. So after that, I can ask what is the right way. The right way can be different for you or for me, you know. But there is just one right way for them to support Justice and Development Party and be in the Gulen community. This is the Muslimization and in the poor districts.
Can we talk about the similarities or differences between the Arab revolutions in 2011, mm-hmm. and then what's going on now in Turkey? There have been a lot of comparisons made by the media and by activists also, and by people who follow the movements in north of Africa, and of course also in the south of Europe. What are, for example, some similarities between what happened in Egypt in 2011, in Tunisia, and later on in Spain and Greece?
Actually, I was going to say about this. Turkish, the international media start to call the Turkish Supreme. Actually, there is no Turkish Supreme, because there is no weapon. There is no civil war in Turkey now. There is just the one democratic demonstration. And the similarity just can be social media. In North Africa, in Arab springtime, the government blocked the media, used the censorship, and the people used the social media to communicate each other, to divide the ideas, to tell them what's really happening in the district, in the street. And for me, just the social media, using social media can be the similar with Arab Spring. And but we cannot say this is the Turkish Supreme. I'm really sure the government will not go down with this demonstration. Yeah. But I have hope about freedom of speech. This is showing how Turkish people can react when you press them so much.
But Turkey has a problem with freedom of speech, with press freedom. It's
yes.
It's ranked 154th in on the press freedom index by Reporters Without Borders. It's,
there are a lot of journalists in the jail because of they are not supporting because of they said some bad things about the government. Mm-hmm. Erdogan doesn't like this kind of journalist. You should ask him what he would like to. Mm-hmm. That's why
he likes penguins, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah,
he likes penguins.
So I mean, it's a potentially democratic country, Turkey.
Yeah, potentially, and we shouldn't out of the concern of the some democratic movements, some democratic changes has been made by this government. They've been trying to some changing some the laws and the other stuff from the constitution. Mm-hmm. But they make it sometimes. We see that without the consultation of the other people, without the consultation of the not their people but the other Turkish people as well. Because if they consider about the, for example, in this protest, consider about the Turkish young generation like us, they could really research about our ideas, and they could try to create some different laws and you know, changes for the constitution. Mm-hmm. I think they could still make it some the they could be the maybe one of the successful government in Turkish history, because some ideas about them is like this. You know, this is the Turkish economy is been very growing, even though they are just like you said, the journalist independence and freedom of speech is very low level of the world, generally. Mm-hmm. They can do something to improve it, but they are not trying it. They are not even they are not trying to get it better. They are just trying to, if somebody says like us against them anything in the radio or the TV or the something else, first they are trying to reach the people who is the owner of this radio or the TV, and trying to tell them just stop this kind of acts, mm-hmm, against us. And then if they are not successful, maybe they are trying to reach the people. Mm-hmm. And if the people who is doing the program, but if they are not successful for that also, they can even shut down the whole company, or mm-hmm, they can even you know, hand the company.
They can buy.
They can buy. They bought, sell the other companies, mm-hmm, like their own.
Three main companies they bought.
And mm-hmm, for my perspective, actually, I saw one of this buying very nearly, very recently. It was the Show TV, and we know that this group, this company is owned by the Mehmet Emin Kara Mehmet. Mm-hmm. He's also owner of the Turkish communication, one of the communication company, Turkcell. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know, mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. And this guy is also he's been very debt, very too much debt. So they are trying to say that we can take your companies from you, and this everything will be done. But we don't know the real reason behind of his debts, you know. Mm-hmm. Always saying that economic reasons in front of the media, mm-hmm, and people are buying this stuff, but we don't know the real reason. We are always suspecting about it, because Show TV and those kind of media channels is a bit, mm-hmm, trying to oppose the, mm-hmm, media. And right now, this TV is also gone. You know, Turkey right now, the watching these events, I mean the demonstration and the stuffs from other foreign countries, or one of the
individual broadcasting
individual
with
broadcasting.
iPhone or Android phones.
And also, or we just have two very small channels. Normally, Turkish people is not really watching them. Halk TV and the Ulusal channel.
Yeah.
So this is one of the also baddest thing I have ever witnessed for this country.
It's I mean, this subject is of course the situation that's going on right now is of course deserves a much larger debate and a much longer discussion. But we are out of time, so we'll have to call it the end now. I thank you very much, Orchun and Fatih, for joining us in the studio of Radio Student.
Thank you also for
thank
this.
You.
You'll be going back to Turkey, I guess, in a couple of weeks now that the school year is over.
Yes, in 21 days I will be in Turkey.
So they have to proceed for 21 more days. And
yeah, and they can catch me in airports.
Yeah. Okay, dragi poslušalci in poslušalke, najlepše hvala, da ste ostali z nami na frekvenciji 89.3. Slišali ste malo o tem, kaj se dogaja v Turčiji. Kakšne so razmišljanja turških študentov, ki prebivajo v Sloveniji, so sicer oddaljeni od dogajanja, ampak vseeno spremljajo. Vsekakor poslušajte delo redakciji Radio Študent še naprej, da boste zvedeli, kaj se bo odvijalo v Turčiji. Moje ime je bilo in je še vedno Boris Vasov. Najlepša hvala za poslušanje in vas prepuščam Bocu.
Intervju Radija Študent.